Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit Podcast. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Anthony Guillaume, who co-founded Momentum in 2018. Today, we're going to be discussing Anthony's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Anthony.
My pleasure. Thanks for the invite. And obviously, thanks for having me.
Of course. Yes. So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Sure.
So what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
There's a couple of things, you know. It's obviously kind of working for yourself, building something that's, I think, bigger than yourself is quite important to me. Mm-hmm. And also trying to make a difference, obviously, in the world that or the industry that we work in, which has, you know, quite a bit of players, and also to our clients. We take it very, I would say, deeply or personally to really deliver growth or drive growth rather for our clients.
Yeah.
And it's something I try to, you know, push on with every new employee that it's really important that we do make a difference in our client lives or in the client's businesses, at least. And that typically, you know, creates a very good effect from the perspective of our clients because they know we care and they know we're there to deliver. And I would say all of these motivate me. Aside from, you know, obviously, I would say the inner entrepreneurial spirit that was always there since I was young. These are kind of the daily motivation. And also, you know, father of two young boys. So they get your juices going in the morning, put it that way.
Yeah, definitely. And then, so how did you originally get into digital marketing?
I studied, curriculums, I guess, or might be slightly different here in Quebec or Montreal. But I initially studied in business management with kind of a major, I guess, in marketing. Mm-hmm. I worked at Future Shop back in the day, which was acquired by Best Buy. The Future Shop literally, you know, was killed, for lack of a better term. I had a given talent for sales. Right out of university, I actually got recruited by Xerox as my first job after college or university.
Oh, cool.
So it wasn't marketing. I was in sales reps, started with the typical, you know, door knocking, getting your client book, getting your small territory, which was, you know, one of the best learning experiences of my life. Xerox is known for being arguably one of the best sales schools ever, at least in B2B. And so it was a great experience there. Turns out after 3 years and some change, I kind of made peace with it that I wasn't born for like the big corp reality, which is, you know, it's fine. It's great for some people. It just wasn't made for me.
Right.
And I actually got approached by an IT company, obviously a lot smaller than Xerox, which has a great footprint here in the greater Montreal area. They wanted me in as a sales rep, for IT, which I was interested in. And my condition for approving this, or at least for accepting that job, was to have a shot at marketing initiatives in the business. It was a bit of a boxing match, I guess, because, you know, you come out of the blue, all your experiences in sales. Mm-hmm. The only thing you can say is, yeah, but I love marketing. And I want to learn and I want to do it. And the reality of an employer is, yeah, but you've never done it. And I said, right. I know. and I understand this means a risk, but you know, this is my condition. I mean, I'm not asking, I didn't negotiate on the salary, on anything. My only mm-hmm. point of negotiation was that part. So
interesting.
I guess fast forward. Yeah. I really wanted to give that a shot. You know, I wanted to know, I studied in marketing, right? So am I ever going to do marketing or am I going to stick to sales? And I guess I couldn't know if I didn't get to try.
Exactly.
So that was 9, almost 10 years ago now, I feel.
Okay.
I might be completely off there, but yeah. And so fast forward about 6 months in, I did, I think, you know, a good job at sales and et cetera, but the president calls me in his office and says, there might be, are you still interested in that marketing opportunity? And I said, yeah, why? And the marketing person at that point was not a good fit for what where the company wanted to go. Mm. And so I said, okay, yeah, well, yeah, 100%. And I think the next day it was announced that this person was let go. And I was giving my shot. So
that's so cool how that all worked out.
Yeah, no, it was literally like a, you know, like a book written story kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So it was really, really cool. And it's funny because I felt like a fraud. I mean, I was like, okay, I went from like very good, you know, very performing sales rep to this marketing coordinator role. Like, where do I even start, right? Mm-hmm. I know our CRM, I know how to speak with clients, but now I got to do banners and I got to do visuals and I got to think about a marketing budget. And what about my ads and my lead gen? How is that all going to work out, right? Mm. And that's literally how it started. I remember learning like, okay, you know, we've got to run Google ads. Okay, where do I start? Like, literally creating all the properties that are needed, understanding what Google on, I mean, I had a very basic, you know, 30,000 foot overview or understanding of analytics and digital marketing platforms, but I've never had, I guess, an hands-on experience with them.
Yeah.
So, you know, you install your analytics, you log into a website for almost the first time, and you start learning everything. I remember going through so many hours of like YouTube tutorials and mm-hmm. blog articles, forums and how to's, and it was funny because everything that for a lot of people was such a given, I mean, at that time and still today, was all new and like super exciting to me. I was like looking at every piece of data. Okay, my cost per click, my cost per acquisition,
yeah.
Where do I even start, how do I make my visuals, what is my copy going to be, and so I ended up picking most of it or almost everything up really quickly because I was a one-man operation. Mm-hmm. And so you have to worry about your SEO and you have to worry about your ads or your budget. We did some events at the time, you know, that was obviously pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. But I guess events restart, like kind of, you know, got back to life nowadays. But that's literally how everything came up together.
That's so interesting. And then yeah, it sounds like the stars kind of aligned. You know, obviously you made it known that that was the role that you wanted to move into. But yeah, it's really cool that, you know, when you were given that opportunity, that you just, you know, put the work in, made it happen. And so how did the transition go for you, you know, moving into starting Momentum?
Yeah, it was quite the journey. I stayed at this marketing coordinator position for about 3 years. I was full of ideas and projects and envy as well at the time. I still am, but you know, family life limits you a little bit more or grounds you a little bit more on your ideas. And mm-hmm. so at the time, he's still a great friend of mine, but me and this great friend, we were co-living in this duplex on the island, and we went for a backpacking trip. I'll get to the momentum idea, but the backstory is somewhat interesting. So we go to this backpacking trip. I'll try to make it, you know, quick and brief, but we, you know, get this incredible idea of creating a, for lack of a better term, a Tinder-like app, which was actually a kind of a matchmaking thing, but for people that wanted to learn and people that wanted to teach. His background was in specialized education. What we wanted to do is kind of a connection between anyone who wanted to learn almost anything, mm-hmm. and people that could teach it. So you could find a, you know, someone that give guitar lessons, for example, or so French cool. lessons or Spanish lessons or whatever. The idea was, okay, we'll create people that want to learn, like profiles, and profiles for people that want to teach, and we'll make it work, right? It sounded super easy and absolutely doable. Ended up, you know, we didn't have much money. We didn't know how to create an app. We didn't mm-hmm. know how to take it off the ground. So we came back here and we said, okay, wait a second, you know, our idea is awesome, but maybe we should start with something that's a little more realistic. And we ended up creating or founding this clinic, Neuron in English, Neuron in French. And it was a clinic that offered specialized education services for, I would say, kids and teenagers. So 14, 15 years old and younger. Mm-hmm. And we actually ran that clinic. So we did a bunch of things at that time. I had this full-time job. He was a full-time teacher. We had this clinic that we would run at night and on the weekends. And we also had the great idea of buying the duplex we lived in and renovating it. So we had a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
So to get to how that led to momentum, everything kind of aligned again. You know, as a marketing coordinator, obviously you realize pretty quickly that you can't do everything, or mm-hmm. you can't do everything as well as a team or partners could do, right? So,
right.
You know, you start shopping for agencies and you speak with one and you speak with another. And so in 3 years, I believe I hired and fired 4 agencies.
Oh, wow.
For, you know, yeah. And I don't, hopefully I wasn't a terrible client. But I think, you know, B2B IT business, typically tricky for lead gen anyway. And what was, I guess, sold to me or our expectations versus the results just didn't align. And mm-hmm. so at the same time, I was running, you know, Google Ads and the website and the SEO for the small business, that was doing, you know, not a big, it was in the 6-figure, category, after about, 18 months or 2 years. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't huge, right? It's not like we had a 50 people operation or anything.
Yeah.
But I kind of realized, okay, wait a second. I'm able to do this at night and on weekend, kind of on the side, very well. This is our only growth, I guess, channel. It was all, you know, Google Ads and SEO. And I'm hiring these agencies in my full-time job and they're not delivering. And I wasn't doing, I would say, like a incredible job, and the agencies were doing a terrible job. It's just to realize you try to free up your time for better results, and you end up kind of freeing up your time, but not getting kind of better results. Mm-hmm. But you're delivering results for something I initially had zero experience or knowledge in. So it's like, okay, I can adapt myself. I can understand different realities and et cetera. And yeah. So I guess the click kind of happened, and I was like, okay, I could do this. There's a better way of doing this. And so at the time, my co-founder, Steven now, well, he was at the time, and still is, was a freelance videographer. And we went for lunch randomly. I hired him for a video gig as part of the job I had. Mm-hmm. And we literally like had a light bulb moment. Like, wait a second. I understand and know, and I can do digital. And you understand and you know, and you can do video. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a good fit. like, right?
Totally.
People need content. People need video content. Video ads are killer. Like, what are we doing? Right? Like, okay, let's do this. And so again, it's funny. I like this, the way that you said, like, the stars kind of aligned, because it seems like, and I don't know if I made that happen or I helped it. I hope I did. But everything kind of happened perfectly. We met this guy with the clinic that we ended up sharing an office space with, and it was a doctor very known in the Montreal, or at least in the Quebec province. And we spoke, and our clinic was okay, but it was stale. You know, we didn't see growth, or, you know, we were working way too much for what it would actually bring back, which is, you know, typical from a business that's starting from nothing.
Yes.
And there ended up having acquisition discussions. Long story short, we cut a deal with them. He acquires our clinic. A couple months later, we decide to, we finish the renovations on that plex, and we decide to put it for sale. And we close the sale, right? So you're like, okay, I can't make these projects happen. They're a lot more fulfilling. And I have this idea, this opportunity to create something again. So literally, I think within days or weeks, I went to my boss, say, listen, I'm leaving. There's like the, I'll just put it out there. I'm not giving you a 2 weeks notice or 8 weeks notice. I'll stick until you need me, but I'll be a contract. And he goes, what do you mean? How are you going to do this? I was like, well, I'm starting my agency. I'm going to start it with this guy, Steven, that you met in the office, because, you know, he shot an interview for you. And I guess in a couple of months, the clinic was sold, duplex was sold. I moved into another place and started momentum, quit my job. And that's how kind of everything started.
That's so interesting. So, yeah. So did you keep your employer on for a while as another client? So you had one big client. Did you have another client to kind of help get you guys off the ground?
So he stayed on board for a while. He actually was kind of a mentor as well. So that helped, like, you know, how do we incorporate, how do we manage taxes? The things that you need help with, like what accounting system are we going to use, you know, all that stuff. So he stayed as a mentor and as a client for, I guess this big contract was about 6 months, maybe a little less. I told him, you know, you're going to be my main client anyway. I'm not going to lie to you. So we're going to start like this. And whenever you find someone, I'll train them. I'll teach them everything they need to know to run the department, which was, you know, becoming from a one-man operation to a two-people operation. So big department, right? And so he found that person. We made that transition happen. And at the same time, slowly, he got us in touch with some other small businesses. My founder, Steven, did some freelance video gigs. So he brought those clients, new and recurring, over. And that kind of all merged into our operation. So everything kind of blended up together. He stayed a client for a while. He decided to bring everything in-house about a year or 2 years ago now. But still, he was, I mean, without that, I wouldn't say that we could not have done it, but it would definitely been harder, because that was kind of our main source of income for the first, at least the first weeks. And then, you know, it diluted into more clients and more business over the months and years.
Yeah. So I'm curious to know how your experience with Xerox helped you to find more leads and bring in more leads when you guys were first starting out.
I think I didn't know at the time, and I'm sorry about my throat. I could have not asked for a better opportunity, because at Xerox, you know, that was back in 2012-ish. You're going to sell, you know, copiers and multifunction printers and printers, right? It's not interesting at all. Unless you're like someone in a, like, I don't know, an accounting office or a law office, and you need to use that machine a lot, or you are in the print business because that is your main device, right? But what they teach you at Xerox is you're not selling the machine, you know, you're selling what the machine's doing, right? The fact that it prints X amount of pages per minute and the resolution is XYZ and this touch screen and whatnot. It's all cool features, but at the end of the day, what's in it for the client? Well, you know, it's a more reliable machine, so you won't lose time. You're printing a lot of stuff, so you're going to save money. Mm-hmm. You're trying to do some pamphlets or some menus if you're, depending on your business, I guess it's a lot less now. But there's always a use case for, unfortunately, having this necessary evil that is a printer. To give you an idea, the MFPs at the time that we were selling were anywhere between like $5,000 and $50,000. You're not selling like this small thing that sits on a you know, abandoned office.
Right. And it's, you're like, okay, you know,
yeah, exactly. And you learn a lot of things. You learn financing because they're all, most of these machines are leased or financed. And you essentially trade this operations cost of a printer versus business opportunities or advantages. So, hey, you told me, you know, you the X thousands of dollars at the print shop because you need maybe not business cards, but you need like these pamphlets or these little booklets or whatever. Well, with that device, you know, you'll have it in house, you have full control, you'll save money. And so you find gaps, and that printer or that device helps this client fill gaps. And I think that helped tremendously as a digital marketer, because I'm not selling you a website or a Google Ads campaign. What I'm selling you is how these are going to become, you know, quote unquote assets or initiatives that will bring, you know, either more e-commerce sales or more leads that will then become more, you know, new clients, which means more money for you, which means we're now in this momentum. And that's one of the reasons it was named this way. And how, so you're not buying into a website, you're buying in a lead generating, in a potentially lead generating machine, right?
Right.
And that's how we, and it's not just about the sales thing, is we truly believe about it, but that's basically how we approach every single project, whether it's a video project or an SEO campaign or a HubSpot implementation or whatever it is we do, is okay, like, what's the end game? Like, you know, whatever you pay for this, if it brings nothing, you pay too much, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, if we make this $2,000, you know, quick video or this $20,000 video project, if 42 people see it, you pay too much. So what are we going to do with this? And how is that going to transform to positive ROI? And how do we do more? It's a win-win at this point. And if it's a win-win, if there's a healthy relationship, and if there's a healthy relationship, you know, it's a lot better to make 2-3 projects with a client than make one project with 2-3 clients. And so that's how we approach everything. And I think this selling the end result approach versus selling what is it you're actually doing is where Xerox kind of trained me or taught me so well, because it just became kind of second nature. And I truly believe it anyway now. It makes me think about the, you know, in the Wolf of Wall Street, sell me a pen thing, you know, sell me this pen. Never going to sell this pen because it's, you know, it's this thick or this nice or glows in the dark or it's blue instead of white. You'll sell this pen because, and I love the way that ends up in the movie scene, is, well, why don't you sign that paper for me? Well, I don't have a pen. Boom. You know, I have a pen. You need a pen. I just sold you my pen. I didn't tell you, you know, it was blue or it was white or it was black or whatever. It just, you need it. I have a solution for your need. The end result is you need that pen to sign this thing. You don't need this pen because, unless, you know, I'm not speaking Mont Blancs and whichever, which are arguably more collection items than they are pen, but and yeah, so that I think that's really how it helped altogether.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great takeaway from working with Xerox, for sure, is selling the idea of, you know, how can this help you reach your goals? And, you know, this is going to help you to reach that final end goal of what you're working towards, which is usually business growth at the end of the day.
Yeah, and you know what? Even it's funny you mentioned business growth because it's been our obviously our only or almost only angle for a while. And then we started working on two different kind of mandates. One of them was nonprofits. And nonprofits, okay. It's not really business growth, but it's, I'm trying to find the English term for it, but it's awareness, right? It's awareness to a cause, it's visibility, it's social media presence, it's getting mm-hmm. donations. Same alignment than business growth, but different strategy.
Yeah, not talking about profitability in the same sense.
Exactly. ROI is still needs to be calculated, but in a much different manner.
Yeah.
And we started also doing a lot of HR marketing. So obviously employment crisis, a lot of people are looking for roles everywhere. Salaries went up. And now you need to sell the business. Like you literally need to sell yourself to potential candidates because they have a job, they have opportunities. So what makes it cool or better for them to work at your business? Is it the salary? Is it the social packages? Is it the retirement plan? Is it the hybrid work now or entirely remote? Is it because it's a really cool cause? And so now we have those mandates as well. But the discussion for, I guess, these three objectives is always the same. How is whatever we do going to transcend to whatever your business objective is, whether it's business growth, it's leads, it's sales, it's HR, it's getting more candidates, or it's getting more awareness. What we're doing is just the tool, if you will, right? The tool really doesn't matter if it doesn't work. What truly matters is how beneficial or what was the result of so-and-so initiative. And so, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I think that makes so much sense. And that's such a great angle to take. So that's awesome. And so I'm really curious to know, you know, what was the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome to date while you've been growing momentum?
Well, COVID was a particular one for us. I mean, for two reasons. Obviously, COVID was a particular thing for everyone. Let's be honest. But our business was, 2 years old? When you get, I remember this Tuesday morning or whatever day that was, something like 10 emails with clients with ongoing campaigns and recurring revenue, obviously going, hey, we're stopping. We're pausing. Yes. Economic times are, So all of a sudden, you're like, you kind of see, you think about your revenue on the side and you read that email, you're like, okay, minus X. Okay, oh my God. Oh, okay. Are we going to make it? And and so luckily we were in the digital space. We still are. We still, yeah. And it took about 2 months and everything kind of picked up way bigger than it actually was before because, well, that was the only reason for people to reach, the only possibility for businesses to reach clients is digital. So
exactly.
All investments picked back up and that was okay. But these 2-3 months were incredibly scary and they help you think, I think. When you look back at them, you're like, okay, I freaked out for 2 months, which is understandable. You know, we cut our salaries. We're like, okay, you know, I remember calling Steven, say, okay, we got to cut our salaries. There were, you know, help from the government and a bunch of things. But, you know, we got to keep as much cash as possible if we want to go through this. I don't know what tomorrow is made of. And I mean, not even speaking about next month, right? Let's take them one day at a time. And you get to your juice, you know, your brain starts going. You go from a couple meetings and a lot of stuff to do in a day to, okay, my business is stale, but I have nothing in my agenda. Mm-hmm. Like, what am I going to do? You get to think differently. So obviously that was a challenging one, but we were, you know, luckily in the digital space, everything picked up for us. The other major thing I think, and I still have some room for improvement there is, I was so used to being an octopus in my job role.
What do you mean by octopus?
Like I did the SEO and I took care of the websites and I took care of the ads and I took care of the events and I took care of the print and I took care of the suppliers. That you start this agency and you're like, okay, you were a two-man operation. Like basically how much can we push it before we actually need to hire, right? So you push it, you push it, you push it. You kind of, you know, you're always barely breathing or barely swimming, but it's working. But at some point you're like, okay, like I am not scalable, right? There's so many hours in a day.
Yes.
And it would be great. It's great for your ego. And obviously people are not going to see the camera, but you know, I'm doing quote unquotes. but you know, you're not here for your ego. So I like the fact that people want to work with Anthony, but they need to want to work with Momentum. So how do you create that team? How do you train them? How do you give them the tools to be successful? How do you manage those processes, and how do you keep them happy? And so this business actually starts scaling and goes somewhere, if not, you know, with two freelancers joining forces at the end of the day. So I think this is still one of the biggest challenge. It's definitely mm-hmm. at another level. I mean, we're not a big shop, we're seven at the agency, but that step from two to seven was like, okay, now, even though I know how to do this, you're going to do it. If you don't, I'm going to teach you how. If you and when you're able to do it 100%, you know, there'll be more, and there'll be this, and there'll be that. And I think that was the number one challenge, is really scaling it to something that is actually a business and not a two freelancer operation joining forces.
Right. So that you're pivoting to, so that your role is more, you know, working on the business, focusing on that growth. And then you've got a team who's, you know, managing the day to day.
Yeah, exactly. You realize that you can't do the strategy, you can't do the admin, the client facing stuff, plus the fulfillment at some point, unless, you know, you pull up some Elon Musk and you're like, yeah, I'll work 120 hours a day forever.
Yeah.
120 hours a day, a week, I mean, yeah. Forever. And that'll just be it. Right. I had my firstborn. So you start realizing, you know, okay, there's not just me anymore. And working late nights and early morning works until you have a little baby that keeps you from sleeping all week, all night. And then, okay, I'm not that energized. And so, yeah. So really pivoting, I guess, to more of I still do a lot of the client facing stuff. I still do, I would say 95% of the sales, but almost all the fulfillment I don't do anymore, which has been really a complete opposite of what it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes so much sense. I mean, no one knows how to sell your service as well as you do. Not to say no one, but it's obviously, you know, you've got that passion and drive behind. So I find that, you know, as the owner, usually the best salesperson anyway.
Yeah. And I think clients also appreciate that because, you know, they know they're not dealing with this account manager that may or may not be here 6 months from now. They know they're speaking with the owner. The owner cares about the business. And I also, you know, when I talked about business results, I understand the business reality of our clients. You know, X amount of leads and X amount of sales is great, but I know, Mr. Client, that this number has some cost to it. You're paying for platforms, you're paying for tools, you're paying for people, you might have COGS. Does the net make sense? You know, we can have a business discussion that is much better than, hey, I think this CPA is awesome. What do you think?
Right.
So that's, I think that's something clients really appreciate as well.
Yeah.
Then again, there will be, you know, there's a time that'll come where I'll need at least a sidekick to start with, and some people to manage more of that sales and client facing role.
Yeah.
Not there yet, but I see this coming probably pretty quickly. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a good point you brought up, is, you know, when you're able to have that entrepreneur to entrepreneur conversation as well, that completely changes the dynamic, and it just brings so much more value to the table as well.
Yeah, I think it helps tremendously. Then again, that's not scalable, or
no,
is it? I guess there's a lot of training you can do around it, but
it's tough.
It's something we'll need to be able to live kind of without, or at least without me. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a interesting next challenge, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. Awesome. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, and we'll be moving on to the Fast Five. First, I'd love to know, you know, where do you see momentum in 5 years' time?
It's always an ever evolving target. I think our mission won't change. We still want to deliver momentum for our clients. That's the same thing. In 5 years, I definitely see the business at least doubling, maybe more in both in size and revenue. I don't think we'll ever bring it. I mean, we might to like it's a huge agency operation, but we might. I see the company doubling, perhaps tripling in the next 5 years. What I want to make sure happens is we have this same vibe with like internally and with our clients that, mm-hmm. you know, we're still as connected with them as we are today. Mm-hmm. And we're still having those proper discussions and, we'll see what the future holds for us.
Awesome. Very exciting.
Yeah.
Very good.
Might be a big switch, I guess, in platforms. You know, you see what Meta is doing and how, for example, TikTok ads took off a year ago or 2 years ago now. Mm-hmm. I guess the platforms will evolve, the different things we're doing will evolve, but the idea is the same.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, digital marketing, it's always growing and evolving so quickly. So yeah, you definitely have to constantly be staying up to date with it.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, we are now ready to move on to the fast five. So I have five rapid fire questions for you.
Let's do it.
So first question, what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
There's a couple of them, but I'll take one that I finished recently, I swear I didn't make that up. It's called The Marketing Agency Blueprint. You might know it. Great book. Okay. Highly recommend it. It doesn't teach you anything spectacular, but it brings back to everything you know you need to do to make the agency scalable and profitable. And that book kind of it just got me back to, okay, you know, we got to do it. And this is the right, like, documenting the processes is not just a cool thing. It needs to be done. It's incredibly important, and we gotta get on it, even though it's not the funnest part of the business. I'd say that made a big impact, at least on the momentum side of it.
Okay. And then do you know the author's name of that by chance?
I have it next to me. So Paul Rodzer.
Okay. Perfect.
Highly recommended.
Very good. And what does your morning routine look like?
It's not as complete as I would want it to, because of the kids. The morning routine right now is just, they're 3-year-old and 11 months. So the morning routine is pretty repetitive and straightforward. You know, it's shower, get the little boys dressed, give them breakfast, and then, you know, bring them to daycare and either go to the office or come back home to get the day going. I wish I was able to, and it's stupid to say I wish, but I want to go back to a sports session in the morning, either like a 30-minute run or an hour bike. I love both, but I just haven't found the time and or energy, even though it's a bad excuse, in the past couple months. That's how the morning routine is right now.
Yeah, no, it's tough. And yeah, I had to start doing workouts late at night because it was the only time I could find, because it was like, I feel like it's survival mode when you have young children in the morning. So it's not ideal because you're usually tired at that point, but it's also not forever.
Obviously they're young and it's something you know from the get-go. If I could at least, you know, get up half an hour or an hour earlier, and don't wake them up, funny enough, is like the number one challenge. Even if I get up an hour earlier, if I wake them up, there's no workout. It's just what happened, they're here. That would be definitely the one thing missing right now for my morning routine to be, I would say, perfect, or at least good.
Good.
Yeah.
And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
even though he's highly controversial, I really like Elon Musk.
Mm-hmm.
I really like him because he doesn't, it looks, at least to me, that he's not playing a game. You know, it'll tell you how it is, or at least it looks that way.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes shit happen a lot.
Yes.
Like, yeah, he moves stuff, and he is, I think, spectacular what he's doing with his businesses. He recently bought Twitter, and, you know, I mean, a lot of controversial things happened around it. But the fact that all of a sudden I saw this tweet, and someone says this edit button, or no, this blue check, there was two of them, and now there's one. And Elon Musk, the CEO, says, yeah, I just killed it. So I'm like, okay, well, like, this guy, multi-billionaire CEO, go in the code and just do that? He's making a lot of things happen fast, and I really admire that. And he's mm-hmm. making meaningful things happen, and I really admire that as well. Highly controversial. A lot of people don't like him. That's fine. I really like what he's doing as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting for sure.
Yeah.
And what is your favorite online tool?
Personally or professionally?
Professionally.
Okay. HubSpot, definitely. You know, no marketing or no sales intended. We're HubSpot partners, but I just like this platform a lot. Everything it can do, everything it allows us to do as an agency partner and with our clients.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. At least for marketing, and then for business. Aside from that, it would be by default Gmail and the G Suite, because I'm all over it all the time.
So yeah, like the same.
The everything, the do everything. You know, the day-to-day is run on it. So
yeah, it's so convenient. I know, and we use HubSpot as well with Review Robin, and it's just it's such a great tool. I love it.
Cool.
And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I'll take a quote I saw not too long ago on social. Is this actor, what's his name? He says something like, this too shall pass.
Mm-hmm.
You're feeling great today and everything's going well, and you got two new signings and two new clients and you killed it on the sales call. This too shall pass.
Mm-hmm.
You're feeling like shit. You just lost a huge client and this project, nothing's going good on it. This too shall pass.
Mm-hmm.
I think this brings you back to, okay, you know, whether it's up and down, up or down, the boomerang will happen the other way. It's a matter of time. Just stay grounded, stay focused, and whether it's highly positive or highly negative, it'll pass. You know, just strap on or strap up, dependently, and you know, focus and, you know, get back to it.
Yeah, I love that. Like, don't take your foot off the gas. You know, even when you've got, you know, that the good times, you've signed up lots of clients. You know, don't let off. Just keep going. And then, you know, obviously when there's hard times, just keep going. It's not going to last forever.
Yeah, exactly. Both are not going to last forever. So just keep going, stay focused, and good and bad will happen. It's also part of the game, and it's also a great experience either way. If you take a time to look back on it.
Yeah.
Okay, this didn't work out. Why? Did we pitch it the wrong way? Did we mm-hmm. think we could do something and we can't? Is this platform the problem? Like, you, I guess everything is a learning experience, whether it's a win or a lose or a loss. You can learn from it, and you can move from it, and you can move forward.
Yeah, I think that's a really great outlook. It's awesome.
Thanks.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Anthony. It was a pleasure to have you on the show and learn about your journey and story around starting Momentum. So thank you so much for joining me for today's episode.
Thank you very much for the invite, Julia. It was a blast. And have a good one, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.